Well, y'all know what I'm supposed to be talking about this evening. I've told you, I've warned you, and some of them took my warning and stayed away. But that's all right. I learned a long time ago, you can't work and you can't deal and you can't preach with those who aren't there. I've tried that a few times. You know, I went through a period of time in the church that I was pastoring. And you know, it seemed like we were just trying to do everything that we humanly could and possibly could. Hey, we just kept going down, down, down. And finally, you know, I found myself, I was preaching to those people who weren't there. Well, that doesn't do any good. They're not hearing it. And all you're doing is effectively taking it out on those who are. So I learned a long time ago, you preach to those you have and be thankful that you have them. So it is good to have each one of you here this evening. I appreciate your being here. I appreciate your faithfulness, your patience with me. As I said earlier, somewhere through this revival, I was going to preach a little bit about heaven and hell. But after I sit down and begin to put some of it, and I've got several notes here. And I had really thought, you know, I'm going to get through this revival meeting without using any notes. Most of the time I do not use any notes. I will tell you, I'm not using any notes tonight, excepting I'm going to read you something somewhere through the service here. But as I begin to look through my notes, I thought, wait a minute, these notes are answers to what God's people want to know. And that's not who I'm preaching to tonight. I'm still preaching to those people who are lost. As an example, let me just give you from my notes, who's going to be in heaven? What are we going to do in heaven? Will we know each other in heaven? Do people in heaven know what is happening on earth? Now, you of God's people who want to know the answers, they're in here. They're there. They're in the Word of the Lord. Every one of those that I've... And there are several more things that I wrote down. There's questions that I wanted to give the answers to. But what I need to have you this evening to understand, you may say, well, preacher, you don't have anyone that's here lost. How do you know that? Can you look in anybody else's heart tonight? I can't. I listen. Most of you, if not all of you, I've heard at one time or another. But I've also heard people tell, you know, about why the Lord had saved them, and then come to find out, they said, well, he didn't save me back then. I just told that, so, and it wasn't true. So I never know. But whether you are here and you're saved or lost tonight, I also know there are lost people out there that you need to be carrying the message to, that do need to know a little more about heaven and probably need to know a lot more about hell. And so I want to talk just a little bit this evening about heaven. I want to tell you what the Word of the Lord says. First of all, one of the things that I found is, as I was reading the Word of the Lord, and one of the things, one of the questions I started off with there, who's going to be there? Well, the first people that you're going to see in heaven might surprise you. It is not going to be the Lord. Now, I hear that all the time. Oh, the first one I'm going to see the Lord. No, it is not. The first people you're going to see are the angels. First of all, you're going to have an angel who's going to come and escort you to heaven and will escort you into heaven and will escort you to the throne of grace. But you aren't going to have, I'm sorry, but you aren't going to have the Lord come down and greet you at the portal of heaven. You aren't that important. He's the one that's important. You're going to be there, and you're going to be thankful and appreciative that you're even going to get to go up there to the throne and to bow down before Him and worship Him and praise Him. All right, I've got to get off of that. But you know, that, now see, I've already got some of you worked up. Some of you, well, you preacher don't know what you're talking about. Well, you get into the Word of the Lord and see what the Word says. What the Word says and what sometimes we've thought and what we've heard are two totally different things. The other one of the others that you've heard me get up and say a number of times, I'm not real sure whether people in heaven can look down here and see what's going on. And I say that quite often at a funeral, because I hear people at funeral all the time say, oh, I know the Lord just looking down here and he's so happy for what he sees and what he hears. And I said, you know, I'm not sure about that anymore. But as I've gotten into the Word of the Lord, I may have changed my opinion a little bit. But that's not, you know, what I think and what I believe and what my opinion is. It's not what's important. What is important is what the Word of the Lord says. And so I want to give you this evening a description of what the Word of the Lord says heaven is going to be like. The first thing that you need to understand is what the Apostle Paul said, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So first of all, it's beyond our comprehension to be able to fully understand heaven, because when you begin to read what heaven's going to be like, it far surpasses anything that we've ever experienced down here, and we can't even imagine how wonderful it's going to be. I can promise you it's going to be wonderful. I can promise you that the angels are going to be doing a lot more than what most of you thought of them as doing. First of all, they are people. They are people like you and me. They aren't little fluffy things flying around up there. They are people. And they have work to do, just like you and I are going to have work to do when we get up there. Now, some of you are going to find that a little bit shocking too, but let me tell you, that's according to the Word of the Lord. But it's not going to be the type of work that you've been accustomed to. It's not going to be the curse that is placed upon man that you'll be doing. But I can assure you, by the Word of the Lord, when you get to heaven, you're not just going to laze around. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place. Now, see, heaven is a place. We got to be sure you understand that. It's not a figment of the imagination. It is not something that we just dream up out here. Heaven is a real place. It is a place that all the redeemed are going to be one of these days. It's going to be different than what you and I may think it's going to be, but it's going to be okay, because it's going to be where the Lord is. It's where He's going to be, and that's where we will see Him. Somebody's going to say, well, am I going to see God? Well, of course you're going to see God, because you're going to see the Lord. That's God. That's God. If we see the Lord, we'll see God. No question about whether you're going to see Him or not. Now, you're not going to see that separation of God the Father, but you're going to see God in the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. A place. You know, so it is something that's real. Heaven is real this evening. I want you to be sure that you understand it. This is not just something that we've imagined. Now listen, here's some of the description of heaven. And you need to understand. I saw, this is old John the Revelator in the book of Revelation. And he is here on the Isle of Patmos for the word and the testimony of the Lord. And while he's here, the Spirit of God comes upon him and instructs him to write some things. He shows him some things. There's a portion of the time that he's there on the island. There's a part of the time he's taken up. And he sees things from a different perspective, but it's all under the great and powerful Spirit of God Almighty. And as he writes what he is told to write. He's also told there are some things that I want you to understand that you're not to write. But this portion of the Word of the Lord, he's able to write. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And see, there again, that's something that we need to keep in mind. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There are going to be some changes that we're not accustomed to. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, it's going to be a city. Going to be a city, the new heaven, going to be a city. You country people, you're going to have to get accustomed to living in a city, because heaven is going to be a city. Ain't never heard that before? Well, you better get back in the Word of the Lord again and see what the Word of the Lord says. We just slide over many of these things because we just take for granted, you know, that we're going to live like we do here on the hills of Missouri. Now, I'm not going to say the hills of Missouri aren't going to be there, because it's going to be a new earth. Yeah. It's going to be this one that's been recreated again. Yeah. Some of you are frowning at me. All I'm asking you to do, if it's God's people, you know, you get your books out and get your Bibles out and start reading them again. You've listened to too much of things, watched too many TV shows, probably. It's a lot easier to listen to these old boys on TV tell you than it is to have to pick up the book and read it yourself. And sometimes we just don't take the time to read. What do you say? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Staying on all my life, I've never known a time when people didn't cry. Sometimes they cry for sorrow, sometimes they cry for joy, but they cry tears, real tears. Now, I every once in a while, I see people cry. I can do a pretty good job of crying and never shed a tear. I can just fake it like a lot of other people can. I remember a preacher friend telling the whole group. He said, when I was in the altar seeking the Lord, he said, those people, you know, they believed you're supposed to get down there and you're supposed to cry and everything. And so he said, about the time that they got ready to dismiss us and let us go, he said, I'd spit upon my finger and put it under my eyes so it looked like I'd been a crying, you know, have a little moisture there under my eyes. Good grief, people. What we won't do. But the Bible says that when this takes place, there are going to be no more tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Death is something I've been acquainted with all of my life. The first memory that I have of a death was my great-grandma McGee. Yeah, great-grandma McGee. And I remember my mom and dad telling Lee and I that great-grandma died. And Lee and I went outside. How many of you saw the big, beautiful moon tonight? Man, wasn't that? Yeah. Man, if you've been out there at all, you must have seen that. Well, there's something in the Word of the Lord about that, too, you know. One of these days, it's not going to be there. We're not going to need it. No. Not going to need it. But there's going to come another time before then that's going to be turned to blood. As beautiful as it was this evening, it'll be turned to blood. That's off the record here. Anyway, what I started to say was, Lee and I'd lay out there and we'd look up at those clouds as they floated by and we'd see, this great-grandma McGee, she's burning in hell. That was smoke, we thought. That's what we thought. We'd see those clouds, and we thought that was the fires of hell burning. And Grandma McGee had died. Now, you're laughing. I laugh about it too, but that was just our thinking at that time. We didn't know any different than that. We'd heard about hell and how that it burned with fire and grandma had died. Great-grandma, wasn't my grandma, but great-grandma. And she died. And that's what we associated all this with, clouds. Let me tell you something. There's going to come a time there's no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm going to probably get that again here in a few minutes. Listen, heaven is going to be a wonderful place. He said, "In the city hath no, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." You see, that's one of the things that's not going to be in heaven. Not going to be any temple there. There isn't any need for the temple to be there. There's going to be any church houses. W.A. Criswell says he thinks maybe he's going to get to preach when he gets up there. I've often wondered what he's going to preach about. Who's he going to preach to? I'm not going to need any preaching. I'm going to be just as perfect as he is. And you'll be just as perfect as I am. Well, the only thing I can think of is you just get up there and preach the praises of the Lord. And maybe that'll be the thing. I may have to do that too. I'm not expecting to. I'm figuring when I preach my last one down here, that'll be the last one I'll preach, Stan. I don't know that because I don't know all the things. I don't make any pretense this evening of telling you that I know all about heaven, because I don't. But I can tell you the word of the Lord tells me it's a beautiful place, it's a wonderful place, and that everybody should want to go there. Not everybody's going to go there. Not everybody's going to go there. But now listen, he said, "And I saw no temple therein. And the city had no need of the sun, nor need of the moon." So there won't be any moon to look at up there. Won't need it. No sun to come up every morning. There won't be any such thing, you know. The Father, God Almighty, is the light. Yeah. You know why that the psalmist David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." See, you can't have a shadow unless you have a light. You think about that? There is no such thing as a shadow unless there's a light to make that shadow. And so he was looking ahead. He knew there was a light out ahead there that was causing that shadow. And he knew that light was the Lord God Almighty. Yeah, that's why he was not afraid. We as God's children don't have to be afraid this evening of death, because it's going to happen, and it's going to be something that'll be wonderful. The songs that that Pam sang tonight fit in so well, you know, with what heaven is going to be like. And yeah, there are going to be streets of gold. Do I believe they're literally going to be? I do. I believe that because that's what the Bible says. It wouldn't make any difference to me if they were rock. It would still be heaven. But now listen. And he said, they have no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations in it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Yeah, this he's talking about heaven. Talking about heaven. I want you to understand this evening that this is the most wonderful place that we can imagine, and even then we aren't capable of fully understanding heaven. Now, I need to very quickly switch over to the other side. And let me tell you this evening, hell is just as real as heaven is. Now, you can believe that whether you want to or not, but it is. It's very clearly taught in the Word of the Lord. There are a number of scriptures. Jesus, as he was here, warned people. He said, you know what? He said, let me tell you what. He said, if you have something that offends you to the point of where it's going to cost you your life, you'd be better off if you cut your arm off. Cut it off if that's what's handicapping you. No matter what it is, don't let anything prevent you from being able to come to the Lord. Now, whatever it is, to escape hell, you betcha. Yeah. People say, well, you're just up there preaching that so that people won't go to hell. You're right. I don't want a single soul to go to hell. And I'll tell you something else this evening. And this is probably as close as we're going to get whenever you look at the Word of the Lord. You'll find, if I haven't lost my place, I've been so many different places, and now I've kept that one. Hoped I had. You'll find that there is a prayer meeting going on in heaven, or in hell tonight, like you can't believe. They are praying that somebody would warn their family members who are down here. Are we going to know our families in heaven? Yeah, we sure are. Do people in hell know their families? Yes. Do we know those of our family who are in hell? No. No. But I will guarantee you those people in hell know who their families are. And they know what's going on down here. Those in hell. Do we know? Do people in heaven know what's going on down here? I've had to give it a lot of thought. I'm starting to sway back the other direction now to believe, yeah, maybe they do. Based on some scriptures, maybe they do. Hard for me to understand. Hard for me to understand hell. The best example there is, Jesus warned about hell. The apostles warned about hell. The book of Revelation talks about hell. The Bible says it is a place where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not. It is unbearable, unbelievable suffering that goes on there all the time. And it was not created for man. Hell was not created for mankind. Hell hath enlarged its boundaries to be able to include those people who choose to go there. Yeah. I talked a little bit ago about the angels. As you well know, angels had choice, the same as we do. One third of the angels, when given choice, chose to follow Satan rather than the Lord. One third of them. They have choice. We still have choice today. God made us a free moral agent. He allows us to make choices, and we make them. And to you who are lost, God allows you to choose whether or not you're going to follow Him or whether you're going to listen to Satan. He's not going to force you, as I said this morning. Now listen, the best scripture there is, and it's one that I think probably every preacher probably uses somewhere during a revival meeting, but it's the best example of a description of hell that I know of, and that's in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, and it's the rich man and Lazarus. You may remember that both of them lived here upon the earth, both of them died. The Bible says that when Lazarus died, he was the beggar, that the angels came and carried him to Father Abraham's bosom. Now, there's one of the first times, one of the first things that should cause you to understand, there are angels who have work to do. Angels work in heaven, just like we're going to one of these days. Angels have names. Angels have orders. Angels do a lot of things that you and I are going to... I'm going to have my name when I get to heaven. You're still going to know me as Kent Parson. Yeah, you're not going to say, well, there goes that fluffy angel flying by out there. No. That's not going to be the case. I'm going to have a body. I'm going to have a physical body. It's going to be a perfect body. It's going to be one that is sinless, but I'm still going to have a body, and so you're going to be able to recognize me. Now, as I did some studying on that, and let me see if I can find that real quick, because I thought it was kind of an interesting, and you all just, all I'm going to do is expose my ignorance to you, because you already know this. I just didn't know it and didn't understand it. If I can find it here, I may not be able to. I was going to tell you what that's called, that God allows. It's a miracle of God that we will know everybody. Not only you who are here, But we'll know everybody. I'm going to know who Moses is as soon as I see him. And I'll be able to see him as quick as I can see you. I'll be able to do all of these things. But now, I'm getting away from Lazarus and the rich man. They both died. The angels came and carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. And now when you get in the Word of the Lord, you can find out then where Abraham is. So that gives you some clue as to where we're going to go when we die. The Bible says the rich man, he also died, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torment. It wasn't something that was going to be future for him. It was when he died. Just as Jesus spoke unto the thief on the cross and said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And before the day was out, he was with the Lord in paradise. So whenever the person dies who is lost, they don't have to wait to go to hell. They go to hell immediately. He lifts up his eyes. I want you to listen very carefully. See, first of all, he had his senses in hell. People in hell are going to have their senses. They're going to be able to see. They're going to be able to hear. They're going to be able to talk. They're going to be able to think. Their conscience is that worm that dieth not. That's continually going to gnaw at them, to eat at them forever and forever. The opportunities that they had here upon the face of the earth, and they rejected the Spirit of God, that will eat at them forever. And they will know why they are there. The Bible says, and he cried. Now, I don't know what that means. I take it that it means that he cried out. But he may also have been crying because of all the pain that he was experiencing. But he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." People just, they don't want to plead. They don't want to beg. They don't want to ask while they're here upon the face of the earth. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." They don't want to open the door. But there's going to come a time whenever they're going to beg and they're going to plead and they're going to cry and they're going to want, and it's too late. Let me tell you something. The work of the Lord is serious work. It's not just to be dilly-dallied around with and kind of as we want to. You see, the whole thing is with us as God's people, it doesn't matter what happens from now on, we're going to go to heaven. Yeah, we know that. We know that. We know better than to do or not to do some of the things we do or don't do. But we're going to go to heaven. But you are the one who's lost, and we need to be concerned about you, concerned enough that we're willing to say we'll do whatever we can to help you, to tell you about the Lord, that you can be saved, so that you're not going to be one of those who's going to end up in the fires and the flames of hell and begging and pleading for mercy, and there is no mercy. Have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Again, a verification of what Jesus said. It is a place where the worm dieth not, where the fires are not quenched. Fire and brimstone. I'm not asking for much. But I need just a little to ease my torture and my pain. And Abraham said, "Son, remember, he's got his mind. He's got his mind. People in hell have got their minds. We've just seen too many of these scary things about hell where that they don't, you know, do anything except scream and yell. Let me tell you something. They do a lot of thinking while they're there too. They do a lot of praying while they're there. They do a lot of hurting while they're there. But it's too late. Too late. Because they're going to be that way forever and ever. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, hence to so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Now, I said this morning there are some things that are impossible for God to do. It will be impossible for God to save a soul and send them to hell. It will be impossible for God to take a soul out of hell and bring them to heaven. Not going to happen. He said there is a great gulf between the two of us, that you cannot come up here, neither can we go down there. I said, well, God could do it because God is God. God would be a liar if he did. And that'll just do away with God altogether. You're not going to get that one by me. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Yeah. There's going to come a time when those who are in hell will be brought up. But they're going to be brought up to the great white throne judgment. And they're going to be brought there along with all of the dead that are in the sea, all the dead that are in the graves, all of those from the beginning of time who have rejected the Lord, and hell is going to deliver up those that are in it. You know who's going to be there? Satan's going to be there. The false prophet is going to be there. There are all kinds of people named in the Word of God who are going to be in hell besides just those who are lost. Then he said, this is the rich man. I pray thee, therefore, I pray. Never probably prayed a prayer in his life while he was down here. He'd had everything he wanted. He didn't need anybody. There are a lot of our people today who don't think they need anybody for anything. They've got everything they need. They've got the world by the tail. They've got money to get what they want. Let me tell you something. What they don't have is what's going to matter for eternity. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Can they have money and still have the Lord? Absolutely. Absolutely. God didn't say that it is impossible to save people who have money. He just said it was harder. Not for him, but for them. Because we are too independent. And some of you are too independent. You don't need the Lord excepting in a very crisis situation. The rest of the time you think you can do okay. Let me tell you, I need him every single day. Every single day you should be feeling like that you need him. Every child of God should know that. But you who are lost need him to save your soul. He said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He remembered his house. He remembered his home down here. He remembered his family. For I have five brethren. Now listen. That he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. What did he want them to do? He wanted them to go back and to tell them, to testify, to warn them. To tell them about the Lord, to tell them about hell, to tell them about heaven, so that they would do something about it while they're here upon the earth, and that they wouldn't come to that awful place of torment. Often I have people say to me, oh, well, you know, if I die and go to hell, I'll just be there with all my friends. No, you won't. No, you won't either. You won't have a friend there. You'll be there with a lot of others, but they won't be your friends. I'll guarantee you that. You know what? Satan himself won't even be your friend. He's wooed you all the time. He's had you down here. He's convinced you. He's lied to you, and you've believed his lies to the damnation of your soul. But when you get there, you know what? He's going to stand up there and be judged just like you are, and he's going to be sent into eternal damnation just like you will be. You're not your friend. Those, quote, friends you think you've got, they won't be there. The only real friend you've got is one that sticketh closer than a brother, the only one who wants to save your soul and the one who can save your soul. Yeah. Abraham saith unto him, now listen, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Oh, no, 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 no. If you just send somebody back from the dead to preach to those people down there on the earth and warn my five brothers, they'd listen to them. Listen. You know why God made the great plan that he did? And when he got ready to go back to heaven, said, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Holy Spirit. And then when he sent the Holy Spirit, he said, this is a commission that I give unto you, that you go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was the commission that was given to the church. And that's the responsibility that falls to us today, is to preach the gospel so that the souls of men who are lost will not end up going to hell. Because people cannot come back from the dead and preach the message. Now listen, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded so one rose from the dead. I want to read just something. I'm a little over tonight, but I hope you'll forgive me. I want to read you just a little bit of what W.A. Criswell said about the new heaven and the new earth. Matter is everlasting and indestructible. The creation will be recreated in perfection, just as our bodies, which can decay and be burned, will be remade and resurrected. Jesus spoke of this recreation or regeneration. Peter spoke of its restitution. Peter wrote of its reserved under fire. This earth as you see it, and this universe as you look upon it, will be recreated as God reconstructed in the beginning. He's got all kinds of scriptural references here. The New Jerusalem, our eternal and heavenly home, will come down from God out of heaven. From our mansion in this city, along with Jesus, we shall rule the universe with its teeming multitudes of angels and saints and cities. The resurrected Jesus in an instant could be anywhere. So we shall be able in an instant to be anywhere in the recreated universe. The whole creation of God will be ours, over which to rule and to reign. We, as the angels, shall keep on learning throughout eternity. We shall keep on serving along with our fellow saints, using our different talents and abilities. We shall work and labor and toil for God without tears, sadness, regret, weariness, or failure. Failure, regret, defeat, disappointment and weariness belong to the veil of tears on this earth, but they do not belong to heaven. Think about that. Heaven will be all right. Heaven is going to far exceed anything that I've ever even thought about. And the more I think about it, and the more I read about it, the more I realize just how little I know about it. But one of these days, one of those angels that's been assigned to Kent Parson is going to get his order. And when he comes, it'll be quicker than that, and I'll be gone. And when I get up there, I'll first see a multitude of angels, and not a one of them is going to be singing. They'll be praising the Lord, but there'll be a multitude of them. And then, I don't have any doubt that I'm going to see some people that I've missed for a long time down here. And I suspect they'll be there as my angel escorts me up the pathway to the throne, where I will see the one that I've known for a long, long time, who I've been privileged to tell other people about for many, many years, and who I never can thank him enough for what he's done. But I'll have that opportunity. I hope that I'll finally get to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And this is the part that I'm hoping I can get. "You've been faithful over a few things." Now, I know there won't be many, Stan. I'm just hoping for a few. "A few things. I will make you rulers over many." And we're all going to have, depending upon our works here upon the earth, as to what our station is going to be when we get up there and what we're going to be doing. But no. All of you who think you're going to sleep the year around, you're not going to do it. For all of those who think you're going to have to, we will eat. I don't think you have to worry about weight. It'll all be health food. Healthy. Enough of my nonsense. Heaven is going to be wonderful, folks. For all of us who've been redeemed, it will be more wonderful than what we've imagined. But for those who are lost, hell is going to be more frightening than anything they have ever imagined. And I don't want anyone to go there.